Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN SC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Stevie Nicol here in the studio. We kick things off in the Premier League. Big shock today at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea in action against Brentford. Chelsea would take the lead after an extraordinary goal from Rudiger from pretty much the car park. But then Brentford would respond and then some, putting four past Mendy, taking all 3 points. Brentford 4, Chelsea 1 is how it finishes. Chelsea still okay, though, with regards to a Champions League place, although Arsenal, with a game in hand, are just 5 adrift of Thomas Tuchel's side. Well, let's welcome in Don Hutchinson, shall we, to reflect on what went wrong for Chelsea today. Don, you just think to the start of the season, those first few weeks, we were waxing lyrical about this Chelsea defence and how it was impossible to break down. It was quite the opposite today. Some of the defending was comical.
It was, and I thought at one point, Dan, when they took the lead, I thought they got a tad arrogant. I thought they thought, it's Brentford, we scored the first goal. Great goal from Rudiger from distance. We'll go and wallop them 2, 3 and 4. Then they lost the goal within a minute, and then they never recovered. And it was a crazy sort of 12, 15-minute spell that took the game well away from them, and they couldn't recover. I mean, brilliant story. I mean, what a 10 days Christian Eriksen had. A couple of goals for Denmark, and he scores a goal today. Brilliant, brilliant story. And it has to be, I think, one of the shocks of the season, that result.
What's going on, Stevie, at the back?
They just need a little refresher course.
Well, these are experienced. Rudiger, Thiago Silva.
It doesn't matter how long in the tooth you are. Every now and again, you lose focus. And that's what happened. You know, after they scored, they didn't concentrate and they lose the goal. All of a sudden, Brentford's... I think what they have to do is look at how they set up, particularly when they've got corners forward. It's one thing to send everybody up. And the reason they lost the second goal, in my opinion, is because it was Kante who's last man.
Right.
You need somebody who's a defender, a real defender, a proper defender, an experienced defender. Because if Kante stays away and stays in the middle with Christian Eriksen, I don't think he gets the ball. And Bournemouth's going to have a shot from a wide angle because there's two players come back.
Right.
So you've got to look at the personnel from your set pieces, both going forward and defensively. And then, as I said, a refresher course. Everybody standing watching for the third goal, watching the ball. That tells you they've lost their composure. And as I said, I don't care how experienced you are, you're Silva, you're what, 36 years of age, you've got Rudiger. You need a little refresher course. Get on the training field, set things up, and then just go through it, and you start again.
The bookies still have Chelsea as favourites to advance to the semi-finals. They take on Real Madrid, of course, midweek in the Champions League. How does this result affect them going into this tie at the Bridge, Don?
I don't think too much, Dan. I mean, I know the scoreline's a bit of a shocker, and you think that they might lose a little bit of confidence. I think they'll bury it quite quickly. This game's a real 50-50 over the two legs. It's going to be a struggle for them. This is a better Real Madrid side that beat them in the semis, in my opinion. They've got more momentum behind them. But it's a hard one to shake off, but I think they'll shake it off quickly.
It's got to affect you somehow, isn't it? Conceding four against Brentford.
Yeah, no, defensively they'll shake it off. I think the biggest worry is who's scoring goals for them.
Right.
You know, it seems like if Havertz is not on his game, where are the goals coming from? You're going to have to rely on Zaitch coming in from the left and sticking one in the top corner. Because you're not getting goals from anywhere else particularly.
Right.
So I would suggest that defensively is maybe the least of their worries. If I'm them, I'm worried how we're going to score goals in this game.
Elsewhere, it finished Manchester United 1 at Leicester City 1. It'd be Iheanacho who would give Leicester the lead in the second half at Old Trafford. It wouldn't last long, though. It's just 3 minutes later, Fredi with the equaliser. Late on, we see James Maddison get the goal that Leicester thought would be enough to see him take all 3 points. However, it was chalked off after VAR saw a foul on Varane in the build-up. It finishes with 1-1. It was interesting, Don, I thought Brendan Rodgers' comments on that foul. He's saying that Varane used all his experience there.
He probably did, but I thought it was a foul. I thought it was a good call from the VAR team. It was hard for the referee to try and spot the sort of sweeping motion that took Varane's leg away. I think it just looked in real time like it was a slip, like he sort of lost his foot and it just stretched his groin. But when you see it in the replays, in the VAR replays, it was definitely a foul. But Man United, my word, in the second half, they got absolutely bopped off the pitch by Leicester. I thought Leicester in the second half were brilliant.
Same old problems for United?
I'll tell you what, I think they've added another one. I couldn't believe the lineup. You know, he's Ranić's complaining about not having forwards.
Yeah. Of course, so Ronaldo was sick here, that's why he didn't play.
Yeah, and Cavani's injured. Guess who you've got a former England centre-forward, a former Man United centre-forward sitting on the bench, but you play Bruno Fernandes and Pogba as your... I mean, I just...
Wow.
Listen, sometimes the theory and the practical just don't mix.
Right.
And this is a great example. Because the theory's good. Get your Sancho and your Langer wipe areas, get Fernandes and Pogba going in the box, or get the two wide guys coming in the way Man City do it with Sterling and Mahrez. But it's all theory. It didn't work, and it was awful. And how they scored, I don't know. As I said, I thought we got a little fortunate, because this was just an awful performance from Manchester United. And Leicester, had Leicester been any good going forward, they would have won this game comfortably.
Right.
Because they got in the final third and had opportunities to deliver a final pass or a final shot. By the way, one of the greatest saves of the season by De Gea.
Yeah, it was something else, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. My goodness. So, listen, Man United should thank the lucky stars. They got a point today.
What's happened to Rashford? This is obviously just a Ranić thing. This happened under Solskjaer as well, Don.
Yeah, listen, we've all been there, Dan, and he's lacking so much confidence. The only surprise, I've seen a couple of comments about, you know, Marcus Rashford going away on holiday in the international break. I mean, every player to himself, do what you want to get yourself in a good headspace. I know if that was me, I don't know how Stevie feels, but if you're in a run of bad form, I would have spent more time at the training ground rather than going away on holiday. I would have clocked in at the training ground every single morning so the coach, which isn't the manager, knew that I'd not gone on a little jolly and a holiday. I would have been there at Carrington training every single day or most days just to try and prove to the manager that I'm in this. I want to be in the team. I want to be in the starting lineup. So whether that's a big thing and I'm reading too much into it, I don't know. But he's got to get himself back. And I keep hearing people today saying, oh, he's the one that needs a new manager the most because, you know, he's formed. I mean, how many managers are they going to go through? How many managers are this group of players going to go through before they look at themselves in the mirror? Same conversation with Dele Alli. You know, you can't keep going through these managers. You've got to, at some point, look in the mirror and go, right, this is on me now. And I think Marcus Rashford's close to being in that boat, really.
How do you sit down in your house with your wife or your agent or your dad or whoever and come up with a decision? The best way to get back in the team is to go on holiday.
Well, it doesn't mean he's not training, is it? He could be training on holiday.
Dan, it's absolute madness. You know what you do? You look in the mirror, you say, right, you know what? I'm going to go in every day and I'm going to work. By the time I finish training, I'm going to be so tired because I'm going to show him what I'm made of. That's the attitude. Not, I think I need a break because mentally it's affecting me. I'm sorry, no, that's not how you don't go about getting yourself in the team by not working. It's called hard work. That's the one thing. The reason Marcus Rashford was so good when he was younger was because he worked his socks off, clearly.
Right.
Every second of every minute, of every game, of every training session. You don't see that now. It came on, and I think he had one run with about 5 minutes to go, and all of a sudden went, oh, Rashford's on.
Yeah.
You don't go on holiday, Dan. No.
Well, I'll tell you what, Arsenal would have been thoroughly enjoyed with what they saw today because they, of course, now have solidified themselves as favourites to finish in a Champions League place. Take a look at that. United have played 30 games. They're on 51 points. Arsenal 4 points ahead of them, and they have 2 games in hand as well. Spurs, meanwhile, sitting fifth. They're not out of the race either. Don, when we've talked about Arsenal's possibility of finishing in the Champions League, you bring up the points where, you know, those games in hand are difficult. You know, you can't guarantee they're going to pick up some points. That is almost irrelevant now, isn't it, given the way that United are dropping points?
To a degree. The one thing I'm a little bit afraid of, the nail in my hat on Arsenal, is their away fixtures, Dan, and they are really, really tough away fixtures. So they're not there yet, but every time a weekend comes or goes by and they see Man United dropping points or West Ham are dropping points or Tottenham dropping points, of course it helps. You've got those games in hand, but you've still got to win them. But all of a sudden now they've got, I think, a 4-point cushion, I think, to Man United with a game or two in hand. So they're certainly in the box seat.
I've got Palace on Monday, Stevie.
Arsenal should be confident at this stage. They've gotten themselves from bottom of the league into fourth position, and they haven't done it by being lucky. They've done it through a process. defending well, passing the ball well, and managing to score some goals at the right time.
Right.
They should be confident, because if they look over the shoulder, they'll see teams like Tottenham, who you're not sure what you're getting,
sure.
and Man United, who seem like you don't know what you're getting. So they should be confident going into any game, whether it's Crystal Palace away or anybody else.
I tell you what, if you want more of Steve Nicol, he's been busy today, breaking down everything you need to know about the Premier League and more. You can check that out over on our YouTube channel. Liverpool 2, Watford 0 is how it finished in the early game in the Premier League on Saturday. Jota with a header to open the scoring in the 22nd minute. The 3 points sealed late on Fabinho from the penalty spot. Stevie, you said Liverpool were less convincing in this game.
Say what, shots? 20? Don't be fooled. This was boring. This was boring. And as soon as Jota had scored, then that was it. You knew. Because, I mean, Watford had a couple of great chances.
Yeah.
But they weren't even close to scoring. And Alisson had a one-on-one with Kuchko, who gave the penalty away. But it wasn't even a convincing strike. It was just an easy save for Alisson. Yeah, this Watford side's going down. And Liverpool, as bad as they were, who cares, they won.
Meanwhile, Turf Moor, Manchester City beat Burnley by 2-0. This game was pretty much over before it started. De Bruyne scoring early, Gundogan then making it 2-0. A very comfortable victory for Pep Guardiola's side. And according to the bookies, they are still the favourites to go on and defend the title. Just 1 point separating them and Liverpool. Stevie, what did we learn today with regards to the title race?
Nothing.
No?
Zero.
Don, did we learn anything?
No, zilch. Move on. Yeah. Go to next week. That's going to be the game.
Yeah.
Well, it's a classic, isn't it? It's the old cliche. Good teams win when they're not playing well.
Right.
And they both did that today.
Okay.
Because neither of them were particularly great, but it was never really in doubt.
Who have you got winning the title?
You have to say right now, because Manchester City, because Man City are at home, I think they have the advantage in this game. There's nothing.
This game is that significant.
If it was at Anfield, I would say Liverpool.
Right.
That's the difference. I think the advantage, because they're at home, is with them.
Don?
I'm with Liverpool. I just think, when you look at Liverpool now, and I go back to the Arsenal game a couple of weeks ago, I'm not sure what Liverpool's best 11 is, and that's a good thing. Because I think Jurgen Klopp, at any time in-game, if the game's not going his way, 45 minutes in, an hour mark, he can look to the bench, he can bring Mane on. Like the Arsenal game, he can bring Mo Salah and Firmino on. The strength that he's got at the top end of the pitch. And Stevie mentioned Alisson pulling off a save. I've lost count how many times Alisson's had to pull off that wonder save at 0-0 for then Liverpool to try and go up the other side and score. I mean, 10 wins on the spin. Stevie, you like this number. 18 clean sheets out of 30. I think it's Liverpool's.
Extra time is always available over on our YouTube channel. Be sure to go to ESPN FC and check it out.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Xhaka joins us as we talk La Liga. There were three penalties given to Real Madrid in their 2-1 victory over Celta Vigo. Karim Benzema took all of them, as the scoreline would suggest. He missed one. The controversial one seems to be the third decision. Stevie, where do you stand on that?
Well, initially, I actually didn't think it was a penalty, but having seen the replay, it is 100% a penalty kick.
We'll hear from Xhaka in a moment. First, Luis Garcia is with us as well. Luis, your thoughts?
Yeah, listen. But you know what? I just heard a guy who just won trophies for fun, Steve Nicol, said that is penalty. I agree. Penalty.
No! No! Never listen to Steve,
Luis, don't listen to these moments. Don't
what a pitcher. He's not Mrs. Garcia. You don't just have to agree with him. It's all right. Luis, what was it about that call that frustrated you the most?
No, I think I understand what you guys are saying. Yeah, it's a touch, it's a contact, it's a penalty. But the way that it happened, I don't think that the defender can do anything else. He's trying to remove. In the second one, we could see that Murillo extended the leg and didn't have any moment, didn't get the leg out of it. But in this one, Mendes arrived there, caught. And over there, you can see the leg is leaving. No intention of touching it. He cannot disappear. I mentioned it before. You cannot disappear if a player, a defender, cannot be in front of a striker because he can touch him. Then football, it doesn't make sense. And again, I'm going to say what I say in the previous of the show. That situation, life, it could be, penalty straight away. Yeah, I saw it. But in the moment that is something that you can maybe change your mind, you have to go to VAR. Check it. And for me, this one is not a penalty. Mendy, when he sees that the ball is going away from him and another player of the opposition is getting the ball, he left himself going down. And like this, I lead my leg, I touch the defender, and it's a penalty. Yeah, it's contact, but I made the contact, not the defender did the contact to me.
I again understand the argument, and really do. But for me, you have to see, especially that third one, at real speed, as it happened, and to appreciate that Vasquez is coming across. I think in slow motion, it looks like he's trying to pull out. In real speed, he's coming across, and maybe just cuts that little corner.
The problem is,
a little bit too tightly.
Shaka, the problem is, the defender doesn't stop. If the defender stops still, look, his motion is still going forward, which means that's how he ends up making contact. If he stops still, And the offensive player runs into him, then that's a different ball game.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. In slow motion, you can't appreciate that he's coming across. It looks like he's trying to pull out. But when you see it at real speed, you see his movement. And why I feel now, as Stevie puts it, the onus is on him to avoid making any kind of contact, when I don't think Mendy hung his leg or, so to speak, in cutting across. I thought his movement was perfectly natural, so therefore it's on the defender to make sure and avoid that leg.
Yeah. Overall, controversy aside, Real Madrid were not very good at all today, Luis.
No, I don't think so. I've been receiving some messages saying that, I didn't explain well about Real Madrid because it's a team that I don't fancy much. And that's true. Maybe I don't fancy that much, but I try to be always even. And in this occasion, it's the fact. You can see that it's not a Real Madrid fluent. They don't not try. They don't have a plan. They don't have. I just see a Real Madrid that has got a lot of talent, a players who can, of course, win a game just because of the creativity, because of the ability that they got. But you can see that there is no two plays that they are exactly the same. That means that they haven't worked on it. In the other side, you got Eduardo Coupe that is working on a plan. You know that you see the players into the middle working to try to be next to Casemiro, the players on the white area trying. And in the Real Madrid side, it's like coming out to see if something happened. If Benzema have that day, Benzema got the creativity that he always have and provide something. And that's something that I don't like. That's why I think that today Real Madrid, even though the football, I understand it's like this, but they don't deserve. I think the Celta de Vigo proof that they wanted more, that they had more, and they, of course, dominated the game for most of the part of the 90 minutes.
Having said all of that, Shaq, it's 3 points. And that's what it was all about today after what happened against Barca.
Absolutely. It's 3 points, but as we said before the game, it's against a Celta de Vigo side that are sitting mid-table. They're not going to get relegated in no real trouble. And as much as playing against Real Madrid is motivation for anybody, you felt this is a game that Real Madrid should win easily. And to Luis's point, I don't think his criticism of Real Madrid is harsh in any manner.
Don't listen to social media, Shaq.
Yeah, I know, but we were 2.5 hours removed from the game. Penalty calls aside, the disallowed goal aside, outside of Thibaut Courtois, I can't tell you anything that any Real Madrid player did. Mm. I remember a header from Benzema in the first half that went just wide. I cannot remember anything that anybody contributed outside of those penalty incidents. And that speaks to Real Madrid, how poor they are. And You're absolutely right. 3 points, done and dusted, but I don't think that 3 points changes where the La Liga title is going to end up. I think they're going to win it, 3 points or not. It's all about our performance going into a Champions League week. And that performance was decidedly poor. And that, for me, is the bigger concern right now for Carlo Ancelotti and Real Madrid.
Earlier, we saw Atletico Madrid beat Alaves by 4-1. Let's take a look at what that means. Well, they move up to third in the table, leapfrogging Barcelona, of course, who are in action against Sevilla on Sunday. Atleti, in fact, level on points now with Sevilla in second. For more on this, let's welcome in, Luis Garcia with us to reflect on that victory for his former side, Atletico Madrid. Luis, this was nowhere near a 4-1 game, was it?
No, it didn't look, at least in the beginning. We saw a very good Atletico Madrid in the first half, waiting for the chance to Alaves to open a little bit. I think Alaves did a fantastic job. They compete until the last minute, but it wasn't enough. And that's why it's a team that is struggling to get out of the relegation spot. You can see that they got a lot of problems in the last third. They compete, they fight, but there is not enough talent or creativity at the front. The last pass is always missed, and well, today it was a proof. And in the other side, Atletico Madrid, with the changes at halftime from Simeone, we saw a lot of doubts until they finally got it and start producing what we were expecting. A lot of good counterattacks, keeping the ball and were creating chances. You got enough talent up front. We mentioned it before the show. You got in the beginning your Felix, Griezmann, and then you bring Carrasco, you bring Cunha, you bring players who can end it, with Luis Suarez scoring a brace. So at the end, it was about time to this Atletico Madrid to finish the game. But we have to wait until the last end to see those 3 points going in that side.
João Félix scoring goal for fun at the moment, Luis. What's changed?
I guess the confidence. I think that at the moment he feels important for the team. Simeone has been trying to make him understand that he needed to change his way of performing, his mentality. We used to see João Félix playing, having the ball, but no fighting, no running, no tracking back. And I think that there's been an understanding between the two sides, between Simeone and him. Okay, you're going to play many games, but I'm going to surround you by players who can run for you, and you can then give me what we expect from you: talent, controls, passes, keeping the ball, scoring. And that's what they're doing. He's getting the minutes, and he's providing. Today, I think, is one of the best games that we've seen from him, but he has to score another two. And in the past month and a half, we've seen some of the best performances from João Félix since he arrived to Atletico Madrid. So I think we have to give it the credit to Simeone, but also to this João Félix, that at the moment he feels so comfortable, so confident, and of course, giving 100% to this team.
He's looking superb, isn't he, today? As you say, one of the best performances we've seen from João Félix since he made that big money move to Atletico Madrid, as Stevie mentioned. Next up for Atleti, of course, Manchester City in the Champions League. It is the quarterfinal first leg this week. Manchester City go into this tie, of course, as big favourites to make it through to the semi-finals. Will Atleti be relishing the opportunity to upset the apple cart here, Shane?
Yes, because that's in Atleti's DNA. That's who they are. That's how they've always taken their claim, understandably so, given the league that they compete in and how much Real Madrid and Barcelona continue to differentiate themselves from everybody else in every respect. But that's who Diego Simeone has built them to be. Somebody who relishes going to the big boys, putting noses out to join. We can be defensive, we can be resolute, we can be ugly, we can be physical. That's when I think they're at their best. And now you come up against a City team who sit top of the Premier League, arguably one of the best footballing teams in Europe right now. And you have this opportunity to go there and be who you are yet again. And I think Atletico Madrid absolutely relish the opportunity.
Yeah, they will be, won't they, Luis?
Definitely. Definitely, I think that the Atletico Madrid at the moment is a tough team to play against. And I'm sure that Pep Guardiola knows that even though the team is cruising in Premier League, is winning every single time with that fantastic rate that he's got with Liverpool, but they're playing against Atletico Madrid, confident, knowing what they're doing, bringing back those good defenders, trying to don't be as vulnerable as we've seen in the past few months, I think it's a tough team to beat. Of course, we are talking, like you guys says, about Manchester City and the way that they can rotate players, that they can change the way they play, I think it's fantastic because you can use so many different talents up front. But if this Atletico Madrid can defend, if this Atletico Madrid can manage to have the ball sometimes and make those quick transitions as we've seen today, it's a dangerous team. And, well, he's got players up front who can end every single game.
After the game, Sid Lowe caught up with João Félix and Luis Suarez.
João, that ended very well tonight. For a little while, it felt like Alaves were going to get back into the game. Did it become more difficult than you thought it would after that early goal?
No, we know that all La Liga games and all games that we need to face are difficult. The teams are all good, some even more good than others. But the job is always hard. We need to work hard, and every game we need to work hard and play well to win the games, even with against the first or the last one.
What's changed since the Levante game? It's now six wins in a row in La Liga, and of course it's the two games as well against Manchester United. The team's on a very, very good run. What happened for this to have changed so much?
I think that our mindset has changed. We figure out that we need to work harder, to be all together, and I think that was a change.
And for you personally, I'm going to check the statistics to make sure I don't get them wrong. I think it's six goals and two assists in seven games. I might be wrong. I hope that's right.
I don't know.
What's happened in terms of your participation, in terms of your game? What do you think's changed there?
Oh, I always have been working well, playing well, and sometimes the goal doesn't appear, but it's football. Sometimes every shoot balls goes in, and sometimes we shoot 10 times and none goes in. So it's football, and the important is it's to keep working. Don't stop working, and the goals will appear naturally.
Obviously tonight was important in terms of the Champions League position for next season. You've now got the Champions League for this season in midweek. You go back to Manchester. It feels like you're a team that's now starting to find an identity, and the kind of identity that teams, certainly English teams, find very difficult to play against. A tougher, more aggressive, more determined Atletico.
Yeah, the English teams have their profile, different from us. Premier League is different from La Liga. But that doesn't mean that the Premier is better than La Liga. In both leagues, we have amazing teams, amazing players. And will be a good game, a tough game for us, and even for them, will be tough too.
Thank you, João.
Thank you.
Luis, the game got complicated, and they needed you to come on to sort it out.
We know the game after the national team break. We know all the game is so difficult when you come back, and some players so tired. But it's so important today is we take a 3 points and the focus for the future.
What's changed over the last 5 or 6 weeks? Atletico have now won six in a row in La Liga. Of course, the two games that went very well against Manchester United. You've now got Manchester City coming up. What's happened to make this improvement come about?
I think it's the mentality. The all the players try to help the team. I think the manager say that if we are all the players ready to help the team, we can do it in the final, in finishing the top three, top four, because we have so quality and we change the head, we try so hard, and we focus the win all the game.
As you say, all the players have to be ready. You've come on today, scored again. It's 11, I think, in La Liga. Even though in recent weeks you've been playing less, how are you personally, physically? How do you feel emotionally? How do you feel?
I try my best to put the head on my manager some difficult decision about how is my 11 player to start. We try my best. I know we have a so really good striker like Antoine Joao, so really good moment, Ángel Cunha, and we try the best in the training ground to make a so difficult decision for the manager.
In midweek, you go somewhere that you're very familiar with, Manchester City, a team you've played against a lot, a team you've had a title race against. Are Atletico Madrid precisely the type of team that Manchester City find difficult?
We know the Man City is one of the best teams of Europa. They have a really good player. They have a really good manager. We know how they play. But they some mistake as well, and we try the best to try the maybe one, two or three chance we create. We need to do the goal because it's so difficult when you play against a big player and away. It's so difficult. They play with their supporters. We know that, but we need to focus for the hard game.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Let's take it to the Bundesliga. Borussia Dortmund taking on Leipzig in the late game today. 21 minutes into this one. And it would be Leipzig who would open the scoring. Emre Can loses the ball. Nkunku then into Lemaire. 1-0.
Nice little ball in behind. Personally, I think the goalie should have stayed where he is. I think he makes the decision for the forward to dink it over the top of him.
9 minutes later, it's 2-0 to the visitors. It's a deflected goal. Oh.
Listen, it's a strike on target. Defender has to try and stop it. Unfortunately, it's Chan again, gets it wrong, and it's in the back of the net.
Into the second half we go then.
This guy Lima's had not a bad game. Eh?
Dortmund looking for a response. And then Nkunku stops that in his tracks, 3-0.
It's a beautiful little back heel from Lema to Nkunku. Watch this. Look at that. And then a great finish. Picks his spot in that bottom corner.
Dortmund would get one back, but then Dani Olmo. Ooh. Oh!
Yeah, you can see in the picture here, nobody's even close to closing them down. And he just rams it home.
What a convincing win for Leipzig. And as you said, Stevie, definitely the man of the match, Konrad Lamar. He caught up with Archie Rintat after the game.
Well, I have to say, though, RB Leipzig are the best team in the Bundesliga in 2022. What's the explanation for that? Can you explain that?
Yeah, I thought like the first half of the season was not our best. We were all angry. We were all not satisfied. Like we know we couldn't do it better. And like with the new coach, he gave us some things. We do great on the pitch. The plan is good. The team is better. We have better self-confidence. And since January, we make a really, really good games, and we learn every game. And I say always, we can win against every team in Europe, in the world. And when we bring our best performance on this day, and today we did it, and we did it with a 4-1 in Dortmund. I think this is not normal, and I hope we can use the self-confidence for the next games, because we have a really important April with really big games. And I think when we do this with these performances, we can have a really great season.
Final question. The club wants to keep you. They've made that much clear. I've heard whispers that a move to England might be of interest. What do you say to that, Konrad?
Today, nothing. I'm happy now. I scored 2 goals and football is football, everything can happen, and we will see in summer.
So what does that mean? Well, it means that Bayern Munich won early. We'll talk about that game a little later on, but first focus on Borussia Dortmund, who are 9 points adrift of Bayern Munich at the top of the table is done and dusted, isn't it, in Germany? Jan Ivar Fjordtoft was at the game as well as Arjen Tutt. Jan joins us now. Jan, this wasn't supposed to happen. What, a full capacity stadium?
Set for a great, great day for Borussia Dortmund. But what happened is was that the 81,000 fans in the stadium, they used their right to boo their team. After 2 years wait to get into the stadium, they went home early. That must have been hard for them. That was hard, so they went home. But to be fair, I mean, we've seen some of these games from Dortmund, and some home games have been quite lucky, I would say. Still a good ability to win the games. But today, there was nothing. The first 20 minutes, they were okay. But RB Leipzig, with a new coach, Tedesco, clear winner for me.
Yeah.
And everybody else who watched the game.
Yeah, very much so, Jan. What's going to happen to Dortmund?
Well, it's interesting because I'm not saying that they will take Rosa out, but the problem is it's quite interesting now when the fans are coming back, because people like me and other German experts, they will sit in the studio and say, yeah, they will be patient for next season. They're out of the cup, they're out of the Champions League, but now when the Dortmund fans are coming back, they're putting pressure on the management, because what's going on now, it's not good for them, and they have fired coaches before for some different reasons over the years. I'm not saying they will walk now, but they have lost 3-2 at Bayern at home, 5-2 to Leverkusen at home, and now 4-1 to RB Leipzig at home, and that is not a good ability for a team that wants to compete with the best in Germany.
What's happened to Erling Haaland?
He was quiet today. He had a great chance at the beginning of the game. Maybe Marco Royce tried to play him on, and he got an easy goal, as a striker would call it. Then he had a quite good chance after that. The rest of the game, he was quiet and running around and talking a bit with Jude Bellingham. I guess they were not like saying, oh, this is great, I love to be out here with so many fans today. I'm not sure they talked about that.
Archie, of course, mentioned in that interview the fact that Leipzig are the best team in the calendar year. They've really impressed, and Nkunku once again showing you why he's so highly regarded in Europe.
Yeah, there were some great performances out there. Archie spoke to Leimer, and Nkunku was again brilliant. And German football is a lot about counter-attacks. And RB Leipzig with Tedesco, they have a safety, they are a compact team, but the way they make counter-attacks is sensational. And with people like Olmo, with people like Nkunku, and the way they're going forward, they will be good. They will also be good next season. If you have a look at their squad, I mean, in depth, when you see the whole squad, I think they can compete with Bayern when we go in depth of the squad. Because if you look at the bench of RB Leipzig, it's better than Bayern Munich, the champion of the German football.
Speaking of Bayern, let's take you through what happened in their clash against Freiburg. Big controversy in this game. We'll get to that at the full-time whistle, but let's take you through the action first, shall we? 58 minutes into this one, Goretzka with a header, 1-0.
Is that Superman in goals? I mean, it's a nice ball floated in. Goretzka attacks it, he gets it before everybody, including the goalie, who's all over the shop.
5 minutes later, Freiburg, though, get the equaliser. Nice. Pearson with the goal.
Nice and simple. Nice little ball through, first time finish, right in the bottom corner. Nobody can get close to it, not even the keeper.
17 minutes to go in the game, Bayern would retake the lead. Lucas Hernandez with a cross in, it would find its way to Gnabry. It'd make it 2-1.
Nice fair. Defender's unlucky, he slips here. Gnabry keeps his cool, just there, defender. Good composure from Gnabry, picks out the bottom corner. No wonder he's shaking his head.
No, I was really enjoying that. Quite the anorak. 8 minutes to go. Upamecano with the ball forward into Kingsley Coman. He'd make it 3-1.
Beautiful ball forward. Coman comes inside. Surprise, surprise for a shot. But the goalkeeper absolutely has to look at himself. That's an awful attempt at a save. And basically shoves it in the bottom corner himself.
And then late on, Bayern will make it 4-1 here.
Yeah, again, Gnabry, nice composure.
Bayern Munich then take the win, but it isn't the win that it is that's hitting all the headlines, Jan. It's the fact that for, what, 12 seconds, they had 12 players on the pitch. They messed the substitutions up. A new player came on. No one went off. The laws of the game, I suppose, if you read them, would suggest that Bayern now need to have to forfeit the match.
Yeah, this is a big discussion now about the facts and who did what. But this is what you see in a Sunday game in a park, actually. So they put on, they have a double substitution. And as you see, 11 players outside and then Manuel Neuer. That makes 12. So Schlotterbeck, who is the defender of Freiburg, he says, listen, referee, they got 12 players on the pitch. They stopped the game. And you see Salihamidžić is here. Nagelsmann here counting how many players they have. And the fact is, when you see the referee Dingert, is that they put on Katlin Krüger, who is the team manager of Bayern. She wanted to take out Coman. So she puts up 29, his old number. And then his 11 was supposed. And it's all going wrong from there. So the referees put in their report, it was Katlin Krüger's fault. But last time I checked, we had how many referees do we have on a pitch now? We have like five or six. We have like five or six in a bus. So they played 20 seconds with 12 players. And yes, it's fair to say that that wouldn't have influenced the result at all. But it's interesting now because they're coming out photos now from Freiburg. And you see Salihamidžić and Kahn discussing with the sport director at the Freiburg, Saya, and tells him, please don't make a protest. Please don't make a protest.
Wow.
They have time to Monday now, Freiburg, to do that. I think that the attitude of Coach Streich at Freiburg is the right one. He says, this should not be up to Freiburg. This should be up for the Bundesliga to say, was this allowed or not allowed? But last time I checked, it was not allowed to have 12 players on the pitch. And mind you, boys, that when Wolfsburg was a cup game at the beginning of the season, they put six subs on. And Wolfsburg was thrown out of the cup against Münster. By the way, the same referee as today.
Oh, he has some accounting issues. What do you think is going to happen, Jan? Because Freiburg obviously want the points for their Champions League push.
Absolutely, and it's going to be interesting. I think there is a moral thing to us as well, because, you know, should you win in this way and that way? But I think that the Bundesliga want to give it to Freiburg. Please don't protest. Should they do it? I'm not sure. My football heart says no, but I have a feeling that the law, and I've read the laws, I read the paragraphs before I came on, and I think that it's pretty clear that this game will end up with Bayern losing 2-0.
Wow.
It doesn't matter for them because, like Stevie knows, the excitement in the German Bundesliga is always on. but I think that for Freiburg, as you said, could be very vital 3 points for them in the Champions League battle.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see how this plays out. As Jan said, they've got till Monday to make that appeal. Jan, for the moment, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Well, the action continues in the Bundesliga. Tomorrow, doubleheader for you. Augsburg taking on Wolfsburg, followed by Borussia Mönchengladbach against Mainz. Both of those games back-to-back on ESPN+. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That brings us to the end of today's show. Be sure to stay tuned, though, as Extra Time is next. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Stevie Nicol with us here in the studio. We also welcome Don with us. Not Don, it's Jan, isn't it? Jan is with us. Technical issues meant that Don's not here. Jan is in his traditional Saturday evening place in front of a hotel door.
It's a lovely studio. I mean, I'm just waiting for the day that I'm sitting in in my studio and someone comes in. I hope it's not a gorgeous girl, because then I'm in trouble.
Right,
how do you cope with that all the time, Jan? I mean, when you're playing, you do it, right? Every second week, you're in a hotel.
Yeah.
And then when you stop playing, you're like, oh, thank goodness I'm not doing that.
When you were a manager for 10 years.
Well, I was, and you got fed up of getting on and off planes and going into hotels. He's still doing it.
Yeah, but you're a bit of a homebot.
Stevie, I stayed home in Overno for 12 days, so why are you asking the same question as my wife? I don't understand.
She called me and asked me, ever would we?
Stevie, what has happened to Salah? His form has dried up a bit from the start of the season. He was getting best in the world shouts, but has fallen behind Benzema, Mbappe, with even Vinny Jr. closing in on Salah's goal tally. Is it really a slump in form or just fatigue? I don't think he's been that bad, has he?
No.
I'm sure his record's been fine.
Listen, I mean, there's no question there's going to be some fatigue, particularly, you know, with playing in the Africa Cup of Nations, you know, the mental side of it as well. You know, people forget the mental side of it is just as important as the physical side. You know, because, you know, your heart and your mind drives your body, really, in my opinion. And so, the AFCON losing the final, now you're losing the World Cup qualifier, you don't go to the World Cup, you've had so many games. So, it's kind of understandable that you can't be a superhero every time you step on the field. As long as you keep a certain level, then you don't have to be Superman every time.
Aside from a Liverpool clash, Spurs' remaining schedule seems easier to navigate than Arsenal, Stevie. Plus, they have a home game to make up against the Gunners. Shouldn't Spurs be favourites to land in the top four? Would Kane then stay, and would Conte get all the transfers he wants?
Well, I think Arsenal are favourites right now on merit. They've been the most consistent of the two teams. You know, what was it, 17 games? Spurs went winning one and losing, losing.
Yeah.
It's hardly the run that medals are made of, is it? So you can't really put your hat on them. Whereas Arsenal, right now, you know what you're getting.
Right.
You're getting a solid defensive performance. You're getting good possession. And right now they're winning games by scoring goals when it matters. So I think Arsenal deserve to be favourites. As far as Harry Kane, I'm sorry, but if Harry Kane wants to win anything, he needs to get out of Spurs as quick as possible.
Yeah, where's he going to go though? United aren't playing in the Champions League. They're not going to win the league. Like that's who he's been linked to, isn't it? You're not winning anything with United for a while.
Well, you might. There's a chance.
What are you going to win?
There's a chance Manchester United go out and spend a lot of money on players.
Well, they did that in the summer and that went all wrong.
Alright, tell me what I can say that you're not just going to throw a bucket of water on, will you? I'm just telling you that Manchester United have got the capability of turning around and spending even more money on players and maybe competing for something. Whereas with Spurs...
What are they competing for?
Shut up, I don't care. Whereas the only thing I can tell you that you can't argue with is Spurs are winning nothing.
Right.
Alright? Yeah, go fill your bucket up again.
I'm just saying. For Jan, can Dortmund ever win a big game? They've lost twice to Bayern, both meetings to Leipzig, failed to advance out of the Champions League group, and lost to Rangers in the Europa League.
Well, first, boys, I'm just looking at you, and I thought, and nobody told me that it was the wear your glasses day, so yeah, I put my glasses
there
on.
There we go. Yeah.
And then I can read the question as well. But the question is good because Dortmund, I mean, they need to be lucky. They need to have some of these players staying for a while because now they say, okay, we lose Haaland, but then we'll find a striker again. The problem is if this striker would score 20 goals, he will leave. And can you imagine Jude Bellingham when he comes back for pre-season training and he has a look around in the dressing room and you've seen his body language this season, can you imagine when he sees, oh, well, what happened to Erling? He is gone. And the rest of the boys in the dressing room, I predict a bit of trouble with Jude Bellingham as well. He's a great, great attitude, but he's the next one who would be on the way out. So no, I can't see Dortmund challenge. Sorry, I have to say, if I go for a title contender for the next 3-4 years to Bayern Munich, I would say that RB Leipzig is closer.
Stevie, how difficult will it be for the Scotland national team to play the World Cup qualifier when literally the whole world will be rooting for Ukraine? For everyone, did you ever play a match where it seemed like everyone was against you, including the neutrals?
Oh, yeah.
Not against, but for.
Right.
Obviously, after Hillsborough.
Yes.
It seemed like everybody was with us.
Right.
And I'll tell you, that drives you on big time.
So could it have the opposite effect for Scotland?
Well, there's no question. The Ukrainian players are. It's hard to explain that when you step on the field, the thing in the back of your mind is we can't lose because you're doing it for a special reason.
Right.
Like we did.
Yeah.
And like the Ukrainians are. So that's an incredible force that you're up against if you're playing for Scotland, because they are going to go to the edge of the cliff,
right,
and maybe even jump off if they need to in order to beat you. So that's going to be tough for Scotland, no question.
Jan?
Now, I think it's interesting because, of course, we're talking about Hillsborough, we're talking about the war in Ukraine. So, I mean, how can you compare that with other things? But I had some of that game when we, in 1993, had a chance to qualify for the World Cup and we played England at home. And I will guess 50% of the Norwegians said, why should Norway go to a football World Cup? I mean, we hadn't been there since 1938 and we were playing England and we just felt that all the... And Stevie knows how many fans the English football got in Scandinavia. But that can also inspire you. And although the Ukrainian war is like it is, and everybody wants Ukraine to win, I think that the Scottish national team, they will have to think of that. That the people want them to win, but this is sport. We got to win that game. That should also inspire them. Do I think that Ukraine will win the song contest? They will win every contest that's been voted for. But Scotland, they're not going to be a vote. They're going to be out there. I think that's going to also inspire Scotland somehow in some strange, funny way.
This is supposed to be for Dom, but we'll give it to you, Jan. Yesterday, Stevie said England shouldn't be concerned with their group, but with a potential Scotland or Wales matchup, should they be? Both sides would love to spoil England's parade, and Scotland has improved under Steve Clarke, and Wales is a threat with Gareth Bale.
Yeah, I always say when people ask me for predictions, and they always say when you play the big teams, they say, oh, this is a difficult game. I say that is the easiest game of them all. Because when I play with a lot of like mid-tables on a good day, and when we play the big teams, then we had everything to win. We could explore ourselves, we could measure ourselves with the best players in the world, and somehow that makes it a bit easier. What's worse when you play teams that you were supposed to win against, and Scotland against England, that is nothing to do with FIFA world ranking or Wales England. That is nothing to do with that. That is a big, big battle. And I saw that England was so, or some English media was so happy with their group. I said, wait a bit.
Well, of course we're happy. It's an easy group.
Hey, yeah. Was that the Maggie Thatcher? Yeah, was that the Maggie Thatcher one he was talking about? Because Dan wouldn't remember that. Was that the Maggie Thatcher one?
When we won against England, that's in 1981, when he had all the names of English prominence. Winston Churchill, Lady Diana, Lord Nelson, Maggie Thatcher, we got a message for you. We beat you! And he was all over the place. He said at the end, he said, your boys took a hell of a beating. He put a name in there. Hell of a beating. Yeah, exactly.
I remember Scotland was quite happy that night.
I bet you were. This is a good question. Steve, you go back in time to stop one transfer, yours or another player's, which one would you stop and why?
I'd stop mine to Notts County. What a heartbeat.
What about the players that you saw leave Liverpool? Which was the one you were most devastated about with regards to what they gave you on the pitch? Because there was such a big turnover there, wasn't there, at the end of the 80s?
Yeah. I mean, the team was, the problem was the team was struggling at the time. And there was a lot of the changes had to be made.
Right.
Because of the new, so to play in Europe, you could only use three players that were from outside of England.
Yeah.
So people like Ray Houghton and Steve Staunton, I mean, the club had no choice but to have to let them go. So that was disappointing, but there was nobody. I mean, generally, when players left our team, it was because they were past their best.
Right.
And everybody kind of accepts it and just thinks about how great they were when they were at their best.
Right.
So there wasn't really, you know, it wasn't coming in and all of a sudden John Barnes had signed for Inter Milan or something where you're going, holy smoke, what are we going to do now? Barnes is just like...
Yeah.
There wasn't... I don't remember any...
No,
anything like
when Rushy went to Juventus, nothing... There wasn't like a...
When John Aldridge scored a goal...
Well, I will. But again, we all knew he was going though.
Right.
And again, the culture at Liverpool wasn't about one player either as well. So when somebody like that's gone, there's still the rest of us here.
Sure.
And you know they're going to buy somebody.
Right.
As much as you're disappointed and you don't want them to go.
Yeah.
But it's not that kind of reaction. Because of the culture. I would imagine you'd be better asking somebody who played at, I don't know, Sheffield Wednesday, for example, a guy like David Hurst, who, before he did his knee, was on the radar of every single team.
Right.
Every single team.
Well, if you look at the...
That would be a... If I was playing for Sheffield Wednesday, and you're trying to get better, and you turn up one day, and all of a sudden you find out the club sold him to Man United,
right.
Then you're like... Oh, that's the rest of his knackered because he's a huge part of it.
Well, in Martin's documentary about Galacticos, obviously he interviews a lot of the players and a lot of them cite when Makélélé went, they thought, what on earth's going on? You know, because there was nobody coming in as protection. They were losing the centre-backs as well.
It must have been our culture, Dan, because we never did that.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I got two examples and I'll use one of... A fellow friend of ours, Stevie Nicol. But both names, I imagine. Nigel Spackman was the manager of Sheffield United.
Yeah.
And he was having two players up front, myself and Brian Dean. And he was driving home from London. And then someone called him and said, we just sold your two strikers. I went to Barnsley in the Premiership. And Dino went to Benfica. And I think it is a good point that you're doing that. I think that it's more for lower clubs. If you have some players that score goals for you or that could be stopped. And the terms of Liverpool, they will expect to lose then and again some good players. But I got from my childhood, I was a Leeds United supporter. In the mid-70s, we were always competing with Liverpool. And we thought that Leeds will one day be better than Liverpool. And then when Kevin Keegan went to German football, we all thought, thank God he's gone. Liverpool will be average. And then they signed this guy from Celtic called Kenny Dalglish. And I was 12 years or whatever. I was crying because he was even better than Kevin Keegan. I couldn't believe it.
Did you ever have a teammate that you had an awful first impression with who actually turned out to be a good mate?
Yeah, I got one.
Go on, Jan.
I played with Andy Mutch at Swindon. Andy Mutch was a striker who played with Steve Bull in Wolverhampton. And he came to Swindon, and I was struggling. I was not scoring goals. And he kind of pointed in all directions. He wanted me to do this and that and everything. And I was so mad at him. And I said to my wife, tomorrow in training, I'm going to kick him straight down. I'm going to hammer him. Wow. He's gone. And she said, don't do that. And I okay, I will. And we played 6 against 6. And he came past me and I kicked him once. On his way down, I kicked him again. And then this guy, Andy Mutch, stood up and did like this. Well done, Jan. That's the attitude I want from you. And since then, he was a great, great mate.
Wow, footballers, you're weird. Stevie?
Well, there was one that didn't start off great. And it certainly didn't get any better. A guy.
Well, that's not the question, Stevie. It's well, not who did you hate?
Well, it started awful, but it certainly didn't turn out a good mate.
Right. Okay.
You know, when I left Liverpool and went to Notts County, Notts County were being relegated.
Okay.
And the plan was to bring them back up the next season.
Right.
And of course, the owner of the club at the time had promised a lot of the players more money and cars and all kinds of things.
Right.
And then, of course, when they signed, it just went like that. Cost the bike.
So I never said that.
So, of course, the dressing room was full of guys that were just
angry.
Angry. And then the owner started cutting the towels in half. They used to have these big, huge bath towels. And he's like, we don't need all these. We don't need to buy new towels. We can just cut these in half. And he cut some of them in half. He was serious. So the place, nobody
just
liked
toxic,
being there.
Yeah.
It was very toxic. But it was a guy called Nigel Jemson, who I understood why he wasn't happy.
Okay.
And he certainly made it known every single day he came in. And I thought, I understand. If you've been offered a lot more money or whatever it is. But then the following season, when we came back in, he started again. And you talk about somebody who you would love to just, as Jan said with Andy Mutch, just start kicking lumps out of them.
Okay.
But that just isn't the way to do it.
Right. I don't feel that's the ending of Then We Became Best Friends.
No, I couldn't.
Did you ever call him out on it?
I couldn't. But he yeah, the only way to shut somebody like him out is to put one on them.
Right.
Or, as I say, half them in two in training.
Wow.
But that's not the right way to... That's demeaning yourself.
Sure.
It's one thing to kick somebody you respect, but to do it for that reason is just not the right way. Yeah, I couldn't stand the guy.
Stevie is the only one who will get a question. Did you start bad with a guy and become friends to tell a good story about a guy he met he didn't like and he liked him even less afterwards?
Yeah.
Fantastic answer.
And on that note, lovely, friendly, happy sunshine and rainbows. ESPN SC is back on your screens tomorrow. Shaq will be here. Shaq is friends with everyone. We'll be reflecting on, of course, a big game in La Liga, Barca against Sevilla.